The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
We all know ambitious individuals who drive themselves. They want success at all costs. Then there are the failures who feel like giving up. They're convinced that happiness can never be achieved. The glitter, the glamour, the pleasures of material possessions appeal to billions all over the world. But what defines success? Possessions? Pleasure? Power? Pride of status and position? What is true success? And will you ever achieve it? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Richard Ames asked, "What is true success?" And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. We all want to be successful, but what defines success? Certainly money, wealth, and material possessions define success for millions. In the spring of the year 2000, the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the NASDAQ indicators reached a peak. Technology stocks were climbing in price, and investors were enjoying their elevator ride to higher value. But from March 24, 2000 to November 17, 2000, the market plunged, and the total paper value of stocks lost an incredible $2.4 trillion. Yes, $2.4 million. Consumer confidence plunged. Retirement accounts dropped in value, and many dreams of wealth and material security were shattered. The Bible comments on mankind's desire for wealth. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs. King Solomon, a man to whom God gave great wisdom, wrote most of the Proverbs. Solomon had everything a human being could wish for. He gave this warning in Proverbs 23, verse 4. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Yes, in just a few months, in the year 2000, $2.4 trillion made themselves wings and flew away. Where is your security? Where is your success? In a bank account? On today's program, we'll answer the question, what is true success? We'll look at three common criteria for success. One, possessions or wealth. Two, position, power, or status. And three, sensual pleasure and excitement. We'll discuss these criteria for success from the perspective of the Bible. And we'll see how they contrast with true success. First, are millionaires or billionaires the most successful individuals, and should we look to their example as our model? As we've already seen, the Bible warns us in Proverbs 23, verse 4, do not overwork to be rich, or as the NRSV states, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Be wise enough to desist. Now, let's understand that God wants us to be faithful stewards. He wants us to use our natural resources and our God-given talents to help others. He expects that we'll work to earn our living and provide for our family. The Apostle Paul gives this warning in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. And again, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Or as it states in the King James Version, he is worse than an infidel. God expects that we will be faithful stewards over our possessions and over the opportunities He gives us to provide for our family. But does having great wealth bring true happiness and success? Ancient King Solomon was extremely wealthy and wise. From his point of view, he had everything. There was nothing in the world that he could not have. Solomon was striving to experience life to the full. But in his experiment, he retained his wisdom to examine the benefits and the effects. What was the result of his analysis? Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 10. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed all was vanity, and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. The NIV states it this way. Everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. The wisest and wealthiest man of his time concluded that all his gold, silver, treasures, and wealth did not produce lasting happiness. He experienced temporary satisfaction from productive work. But he concluded, all of the pleasure and wealth and labor amounted to what? Amounted to vanity and grasping for the wind. In other words, all his possessions and pleasures amounted to nothing, to futility, to grasping for the elusive. He did not achieve true success through his pleasure seeking. Why? Because his possessions produced nothing of lasting value. When you die, you don't take it with you. Solomon's wisdom saw human activity apart from God as vanity, meaninglessness, and futility. Many years ago, I had a friend who graduated number one in his economics class from an Eastern university. He had his Corvette convertible, his women, and his wine. But he confided in me that something was missing. His wealth and business success didn't bring him happiness. This is a vital lesson that we all must learn. In the book of Luke, Jesus gave what is called the parable of the rich fool. Luke 12, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This rich man placed his confidence for the future in the security of his possessions. Now, he could indulge himself in the pleasures of life. But notice the wake-up call in the next verse, Luke 12 and verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's understand. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as the Scriptures tell us in 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Romans 14:10. Now is the time to repent of our covetousness and lust and our greed. As God said to the rich fool, "This night your soul will be required of you." According to an article in the San Diego Union-Tribune, there is, quote, "a resurgence of greed in the new economy." In his article entitled "Civilizing Greed," Dinesh D'Souza writes this concerning entrepreneurial capitalism, quote, "More than any other social type, except perhaps the clergy, the entrepreneur is in everyday conduct oriented to the noble task of helping and serving others," end of quote. Well, that's certainly the way it should be. D'Souza states that Jim Collins, author of the best-selling book Built to Last, quote, indignantly asked, "What happened to the early Silicon Valley ideal of making better products and lasting companies so that the world would be a better place?" Collins charged that today's entrepreneurs have simply lost their sense of higher purpose. "All that you greedy capitalists want," he complained, "is to go out and make obscene amounts of money," end of quote. So it appears that greed is in. Or we might ask, was it ever out? You might remember the movie Wall Street, in which Michael Douglas's character said, "Greed is good." This wasn't just fiction. His statement was adapted from what financier Ivan Boesky had told a business school graduating class. Boesky told these future businessmen, quote, "Greed is all right, by the way. I think greed is healthy. You can be greedy and still feel good about yourself," end of quote. The Bible strongly condemns that philosophy. Turn in your Bible to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." No, you cannot be greedy and still feel good about yourself. Covetousness or greed is called idolatry in Colossians 3 and verse 5. Check the NRSV translation. The worship of wealth, money, or possessions is idolatry, which is simply and plainly sin. And sin, as we know from Romans 6:23, brings about the penalty of death. Romans 6:23 states, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friends, putting your trust or your lust into money, wealth, or possessions leads to pain, sorrow, idolatry, and death. Remember the parable of the rich fool? Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." What does your life consist of? Are you falling into the trap of greed and lust? Are you trying to be rich? Covetousness in the pursuit of material possessions leads to death, not true success. As many market investors found out, Proverbs 23, verse 5, certainly rings true. "For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." Maybe you agree that greed and covetousness are not the way to true success. But what about social or professional status, power, and position? Certainly those are true measures of success, aren't they? And the sexual revolution has tried to convince us that rampant sensual pleasure is another true measure of success. But is it really? We'll discuss those criteria in the next part of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program entitled, "What is True Success?" This is one of the most important questions you'll need to answer. This audio tape will help you in your study of the Bible. You'll have the opportunity to review the biblical references and quotes we shared with you on this program. And you'll be able to do it at your own convenience and in your own time. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape, "What is True Success?" There's no cost or obligation. You can also order the tape on our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that ancient King Solomon, who had everything anyone could want, concluded that material possessions and pursuit of pleasures left him unfulfilled and unsatisfied. We saw that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and that greed and covetousness are idolatry. Remember the parable of the rich fool. God said to him, "This night your soul will be required of you." That's in Luke 12 and verse 20. The value of one's wealth and possessions does not bring one true success. King Solomon wrote lasting lessons we should pay heed to in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever." Have you ever felt that life had no meaning? Or that life was a drudgery? Solomon continues in verse 8 in the NRSV. "All things are wearisome, more than one can express. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, or the ear filled with hearing." Is mankind ever satisfied? Does he ever get enough? Vanity in the context of Ecclesiastes is anything that does not have lasting value. But God has purposed every human being to be of lasting value. The key to true success is understanding what life is all about. Why are we here on earth? What is our ultimate destiny? We've shared with you the astounding biblical answers to these questions. Be sure to write or phone for your free booklets and tapes that'll help you see from your own Bible what mankind is here on earth for. Now, let's briefly examine another so-called criterion for success: status, position, or power. The world's view is to climb the corporate ladder at the expense of others. It doesn't matter how you get there, but get to the top. The vanity of high position in society, business, education, or government is appealing to many people. The mother of James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, came to him, and they asked that they should have a high position in his kingdom. Matthew 20 and verse 21. She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask." He then told them that those positions were for those chosen and prepared by God the Father. Verse 23. Jesus then contrasted the vanity of rulers with the attitudes of true servants. Matthew 20, verse 25. "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Who would be the greatest? The one in a high government position, lording it over others? No, the greatest is the one who is a true servant, one who truly cares and helps others. And notice that it was the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, who took little children up in his arms, who stooped over to wash the feet of his disciples. You can read about that in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. It was Jesus who sacrificed his life for us all, as it states in Romans 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus' example was one of service, sacrifice, and love. Notice verse 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Whatever position you hold in this life, you'll never experience true success unless it is one of godly service toward others. Do you have an attitude of serving and helping others? In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 11, Jesus repeated the principle of service. "He who is greatest among you shall be your servant." But notice this truism for those who want the chief seat. Verse 12, "And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." One of the measures of true success is the degree of godly service one is willing to give. Emphasis is on give. False success depends on the get principle, and that's the default characteristic of human nature. Another false criterion is that of intellectual vanity. God wants us to use our minds to learn godly values and true knowledge. I spoke on the subject of true education in a previous program. Unless one has chosen biblical humility, his material knowledge may lead to intellectual vanity, a feeling of superiority, and even arrogance. Knowledge puffs up, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. And frankly, the anti-God form of education and learning is simply vanity. Notice what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 18. "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." How many times have you seen the so-called history experts, literature experts, or theology experts on network television use their expertise to downgrade, twist, or pervert the plain truth of the Scriptures? Truly, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Paul was writing to the Greek Corinthians, who, as Paul wrote earlier, seek after wisdom. Here is what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 22. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now listen to this. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. True knowledge, lasting knowledge, as opposed to vanity, is available only to those who humble themselves to live by the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. As Jesus prayed in Matthew 11, verse 25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Yes, those babes in Christ will have the greater wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. As it states in Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. We've seen that the Bible strongly condemns greed for possessions, position, and power. Some seek pleasure as the real goal in life. King Solomon, who had it all, said in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. Today's society seeks pleasures in sexual licentiousness, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and every imaginable form of stimulation. The Apostle John summed it up in 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. True success is lasting. It doesn't pass away. But the vanity, lust, and pride will go down the drain, and those who embrace it will pay the price. Sexually transmitted diseases are on the increase in the United States. The book of Proverbs has this warning. The father is warning his son to avoid harlots. Proverbs 5 and verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Then verse 8. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Contrast that lifestyle with Proverbs 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's God's way. What is fun today will be fun tomorrow. He adds no sorrow when he blesses us, because he wants us to use our resources to his honor and glory. But the way of the world reaps sorrow and suffering. Can you be a success in this life and in the world to come? Yes, you can, if you apply the principles in your Bible. We'll discuss those keys in the conclusion of our program. But first, I'd like to offer you a free audio tape of this program entitled, What is True Success? The answer is vital to your happiness and your future. This audio tape will help you in your study of the Bible, and you'll be able to review the biblical references and quotes we've shared with you at your own convenience and in your own time. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free audio tape, What is True Success?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
After all of King Solomon's experimentation, he came to a final conclusion. Let's read that in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The conclusion of all Solomon's experimentation of life is that one should fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. The NRSV states it this way, fear God and keep His commandments, for that is the whole duty of everyone. Some religions say that it's impossible to keep God's commandments, so they invent amazing interpretations to excuse their lack of submission and obedience to God and Christ. As the Apostle Paul stated in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My friends, the Bible reveals the unseen, immutable laws of life. When we're in harmony with those principles and instructions, we are blessed. In fact, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, you will find that obedience to God's way of life brings blessings, and disobedience to God's way of life brings curses. The world's criteria for success, possessions, power, position, and pleasure, only bring pain, suffering, failure, and death. Those whose kind of success is self-indulgence, self-aggrandizement, and self-centeredness harm themselves and others. True success comes only through the Savior of the world who taught us to love our enemies, to lay down our lives for one another, and to live by every word of God. When we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God's gift to those who repent and are baptized, we will live a truly happy, productive, and successful life, because we'll be helping others into the kingdom of God and the family of God. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 10, verse 8, freely you have received, freely give. We strive to do that on this program, the Tomorrow's World telecast, magazine, Bible study course, and all the other free booklets and tapes are dedicated to educating millions to biblical truth so that they may be successful in this life, inherit the kingdom, and experience true success for all eternity. We invite you to join us every week. Dr. Meredith and I will continue to share with you the amazing truths of the Bible. We'll give you the biblical answers to the most challenging questions of life, and we'll discuss practical principles for true success and Christian living. So be sure to join us again next week, right here, at this same time.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579 or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.